Please be seated. The fact that this morning's text is probably a later addition to John's Gospel shouldn't prevent us from appreciating the richness of these words. It was just a few days ago, Peter had denied the one he called Son of God. Three times, mind you. And I imagine that failure was a very fresh wound for Peter. Undoubtedly, he was replaying the scene in his mind over and over again. The other disciples, they probably felt the same way, because they too had failed. They had run like scared children when one of their own betrayed him with a kiss. I'm not sure why they went out on the water to fish. Maybe it's just as simple as returning to something that was familiar to them when you don't know where to turn. Although the last time they had thrown their nets over the side of the boat into the water must have seemed like it was a lifetime ago. But I imagine there was true silence on that boat. Perhaps a deafening silence. A silence that was broken only by the lapping of the water against the side of the boat or the flapping of their sails or perhaps the cries of seagulls. I imagine they were wondering if this pain would ever end. They failed. They had failed him. And if things weren't bad enough, they'd been fishing for hours and hadn't caught a thing. But there was a moment in those early morning hours when that silence was broken by a voice. And that age-old question between fishermen, "You caught anything?" And "No," one of them replies. "Well, try the other side," the voice suggests. And I believe that at that moment, at least one of those fishermen came to a sacred realization. Could it be him? Could it be? Hadn't they heard words similar to that before? But what could it hurt? So these guys put their net in the water on the other side, and immediately the net fills with fish, more than they could haul into the boat, and then they knew. And in a scene that I imagine more resembled a sitcom than a sacred moment, they make their way to shore. And there he was, cooking them breakfast. Bread and fish. A meal. A meal. And serving them, just like days before when they had shared a meal and he had washed their feet. They still can't believe it's him. And they're all thinking the same thing, but none of them could muster the courage to put it into words. So Jesus breaks the silence. "Peter, do you love me?" And of course he asks Peter. Of course he knows what Peter has done. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He asks him three times, the three times perhaps piercing Peter's heart as he remembers what he just did three times. And the different words used in this text by Jesus for love are, of course, important, but Jesus' response is even more so. "Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Tend my sheep." And it was then that Peter and every other disciple in that circle knew that Peter had been reconciled to Christ. In the darkness of that courtyard, Peter had denied Jesus three times, and in the breaking of that morning dawn, had now three times declared his love. "You love me? Then care for my sheep. Love them. Tend them. Nurture them. Walk beside them. And again, follow me." Folks, this text, wherever we got it from, is the gospel in a nutshell. It is all there. Love and service and forgiveness, incredibly undeserved forgiveness. discipleship, reconciliation, a meal, bread, fish, the ordinary things that happen every day of our lives. And amidst all that, the presence of the risen Christ. It's all there. And it all seems so simple, doesn't it? And in all of this stuff, what seems so ordinary all of a sudden becomes sacred somehow. It becomes a sacrament. It becomes a sacrament when we are willing and able to see God dwelling in it. When we are willing and able to allow God to transform it. And whether we realize it or not, we're a lot like those first disciples. We do share many of their virtues, but we also share many of their flaws. Like those disciples, we are so often caught flat-footed by the presence of Christ in our midst. Like them, we expect to see Jesus in certain kinds of places, but not in others. And we certainly don't expect Jesus to look like he most often does. And how sad it is. How sad it is to miss Christ in the ordinary places of our lives just because we're not paying attention. This past Wednesday night, I saw the risen Christ. I saw the risen Christ in the ordinary. He'd been there before. I just guess I hadn't noticed. At the Wednesday 5:30 service, I always call the kids up to the altar for communion. And long before the service starts, I am bombarded by kids who want to participate in the service in some way. One wants to be a torchbearer, another the crucifer. One wants to carry the gospel book, serve the bread or wine, read the gospel. And invariably, I overpromise who can do what because I can't keep up with it all. I can't keep up with what I've already said yes to. But it all seems to work out. And I'll try to keep up with who hasn't had a turn in a while. But as the kids gathered around the altar this week, I saw something different. It really wasn't any different than it had been any other week. It's just somehow this week I noticed it. And I was overcome. First, I noticed the sheer joy. The sheer joy and excitement over gathering around this table. I noticed how many of the kids tried to position themselves in the right place to see what was going on. And I noticed that, yes, there was even a little pushing and shoving to see who could get to the closest to the table. I saw kids try to be first in line to receive the bread and the wine. I saw a child who I'd promised could serve say it was okay if another child served, since I had overpromised. I saw an older child shepherd the younger ones as acolytes. I can't keep up with how many of them asked me if they could serve in some way next week because they would be here. And I can't tell you how many of them asked for more bread and wine when it all had been served. They literally wanted more. I know it's only kids, but my friends, I saw the kingdom of God. I saw the risen Christ and I was overwhelmed. It happens every week, so why was this week different? I don't know. Maybe I was just paying attention, and maybe that's the point. And I'll admit to you that as I stood there, my thoughts included wondering how in the world we could ever get the grown-ups to be as giving and as excited around this table. But I know without a doubt that Wednesday night I saw a living sacrament of the risen Christ that had nothing to do with any words a priest might have to say. All amidst the ordinary. And maybe that's why this text was added to John's Gospel. To remind us to keep our eyes open. Maybe as a reminder that the risen Christ really is among us in the everyday and in the ordinary. And maybe it's just as simple as paying attention. Maybe it's as simple as following the example of these disciples in prayer and fellowship and the breaking of bread, knowing that in this place and among these people we are called to be different. Maybe it's as simple as learning what it means to repent and return to the Lord, knowing that like Peter, we can't do it by ourselves. But sometimes we have to turn around and depend on one greater than ourselves. Maybe it's as simple as proclaiming by word and example the good news of God in Christ, knowing that what we profess matters, but what we do matters more. Maybe it's as simple as seeking and serving Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord. I love you not only as my neighbor, but as my brother. Maybe it's as simple as striving for justice and peace among all people and respecting the dignity of every human being by paying attention and knowing that there are no throwaways in God's kingdom. And in fact, within the least of these, we might well find the risen Christ. Maybe even in a child on a Wednesday evening. In case you haven't noticed, those are all the vows that we're about to make for Millie and Charlotte Eberhard. We have to mean them. Can we love, forgive, forget, serve, reconcile, and send like Jesus did that morning on the Sea of Tiberias? No. But we can promise to try. And in doing so, the ordinary becomes sacred, not because of anything we do, but because of what God has already done for us, if only we'll pay attention. God love you. Amen.
I told you she wouldn't be back.